surprised.
Well, that's not the only email we'll get.
Yeah.
So we should have a standard, send us some standard operating language. New meters have caused
You know what the problem is? I had a $2,600 water bill in one of my university houses. It didn't match. The outside meter did not match the inside meter. So the first thing we should do is see if the outside and the inside compare exactly alike. It was running just enough for them to get readings. It never quit, stopped. So when I sold the house, it was like 200 some cubic feet more on the outside than in an meter, and I had a $2,600 water bill. I had to pay to sell the house. And the water department goes, sorry about your luck. And it says right on the back of your water bill, if you look at and read all those conditions, it says right here, we're not responsible if these meters stop. Sorry about it. Pay it. $2,600.
Yeah.
If unless it goes totally dead, then you can usually catch it. Let's just turn it just enough.
I didn't have that in correspondence, but maybe we want to just touch base on that at correspondence done just so to if anybody who's listening or in the minutes, so I'll put you under that, Harold, for water billing. All right.
Would something on the flash on the website be a good idea?
Probably.
Yeah, or the at least the City of Toledo contact. I know it's on the bills, but
right.
It seemed to me like customer service couldn't explain the situation to them.
Well, and if everything he said email was accurate, you know, somebody at customer service told him, well, sometimes elderly people leave the water running. Why would you say that to somebody?
It might be true, but it would irritate me then. I'd immediately be irritated. Yes.
Well, what they should do, though, too, is on a lot of that water bill, but there was a silent toilet leak. It was a thing. Ken, I just sent Ken over there, and he's like, doesn't hear anything.
Well, they were suggesting,
and the toilet was just continually, slowly leaking through, and you could not hear it.
The meters.
Oh, the flap was bad.
Just, it wasn't even enough to make noise.
Interesting.
What we were discussing before you came in, the resolution for the property, we'll discuss it in executive session and go back out and potentially take action then.
This is what you've been talking about little by little by little.
Little by little.
You bring it up every meeting. I think this is what, when you say Monclova Road.
Yes.
Old Town Hall.
Oh. Sorry. Yeah.
Isn't that a country song?
What's that?
Old Town
Road.
Road.
Because Harold can update us on the other Keene real estate, which I have some information on potentially as well.
Okay.
Stony Creek, that was on again, off again, now it's on again.
We're ready to take care of it this evening.
Okay.
Toledo Edison figured out what was going on, I guess.
And speaking of, I guess, Stony Creek, so both I ran into Jim Sayed last week, and then Craig Harris reached out to me that ODOT has reached out to both of them about the four corners of 20A. ODOT would like them to put in a TIF to pay for the roundabout there. I'm like, well, they're already in a TIF for us.
Yes.
It's funny how people keep doing that to us.
Well, we were very proactive, I think, to our advantage. And now ODOT, I'm thinking, is our funding mechanism, I'm presuming. For interchange, I don't know about interchange improvements there, but I told both of them, it's like, it's already in a commercial TIF for our 28. And they're like, oh,
see what develops.
So.
Interesting.
When are they anticipating? I know it came up a little bit to try to do that roundabout on 20A. Is there a timeline on it, Harold?
I have yet to see any in writing about a roundabout.
That's what I was wondering, because I know they've been talking and team. Now it's their ask, but there's never been anything saying we plan to do this in 2027. So they're doing a lot of preliminary, but nobody's come out and said.
Right.
Maybe they're waiting for funding.
But, you know, I don't know, can ODOT take any precedence over our TIF that we already have in place there?
I don't believe that they can become senior. I mean, they might be able to wait in line after ours is done, but they can't just wave a wand and...
I didn't know where we're at since the pecking order.
First or first.
It's kind of like a mortgage.
Yeah. I first is best. Yeah. So, but yeah.
It's going to be the home equity line. Isn't that good?
So it depends. Yes, yeah. As long as it's just.
Kind of like a mortgage. I love how Evan puts it in terms you're always going to be able to understand.
But and that's where I thought, even though your mortgage, a tax lien, leapfrogs a mortgage.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
From the banker.
But I can't imagine they have that. I probably can't imagine a lot of authorities that the state has that would disgust me.
Uh-huh.
Anything else you want to add to that?
Maybe I'll listen to one.
I guess speaking of roundabouts, going under back to number 9, then we'll kind of leapfrog the agenda. Harold sent some pictures of the Roachton Road, and I forget what road that was.
199. Yeah.
That when does the county need an answer from us? We'd like to move forward with the 3 planned roundabouts here.
He did not put any kind of a timeline on it, but he would like feedback from us and that's why it was Mike Stormer that called me and told me about that roundabout. So I drove out there and took pictures of it. And it, River Rock does look better than Dump Rock. It sounds better, too.
Well, the Springfield Township, I was going around that one right at the township building the day.
Yeah.
They had the dump, but then they had the grass, and then they had the grass on top. It was a nice combination,
mm-hmm.
you know, as far as how they tiered it up and what they did with it. Not maintenance-free by all means, because it has dump rock, then grass, and then the
right.
plants up on that one, too. But I still would like to know if we could get anything flat. To me, it's just with the mound, they're trying to say go through, you can't hit anything. To me, you're just going to go airborne. You're going to go airborne or flip. So, you know, so it's like, is that an option, do you know, by chance?
Well, I think the idea of the mound, you know, and I'm thinking of Weckerly Moncloa down here. The thought process was the mound creates the sight distance barrier, so you can't see through it and see what's coming. But so as long as you have something else, and the one that I sent the picture of, the one
right.
at Roachton in 199,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't have pine trees, it has bushes, which accomplish the same thing. Really, it doesn't look bad at all.
Yeah.
So here's, this isn't perfect, but it's an example of trees, and he talked about the on our side. We're going to be allowed to do some side work too. It's a coordinated sort of effort, and that's grass instead of stone. And I understand that grass is a no-no because we'd actually have to go mow it. But
turf.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Or grass that doesn't need mowed. You know, grass. There is long
crab
grass. But. I'm thinking of something, and this one even has a sign in it.
You're saying for Halloween salt.
Yeah.
Not the other trees.
And it doesn't have to be this many trees, but these are little trees. A redbud tree is never big. It's going to break away.
Mm-hmm.
And we could coordinate it with our curves. They could have the same redbud trees or dogwood trees or whatever these little trees are. I don't know my trees that well.
Well, I think what the county was looking for, they're trying to put together a budget. And I think based on discussions at the engineers meeting, they're going to budget, what was it, $150,000 or something like that?
They're taking down a wall on that property. So they're not going to walk away without getting something. They're not going to say, oh yeah, take down our wall and we don't want any entrance to our fancy subdivision. So they're going to have to come up with that budget.
Mm-hmm.
And if we threw a few of those pretty trees that matched the pretty trees in the center, it would just be a coordinated, all four,
mm-hmm.
is it four? It's only three there. Three roads.
It's four.
One's private, that's all.
Yeah, yeah. So, not that hard, but we're landscape architects. Can computer work? So,
what about these nice ornamental trees that you have right out here at the corner of your building? Something similar to that.
Yeah, those are like magnolias, right?
Eric
picked magnolias. How about palm trees? Palm trees would be really nice. I don't know if they'd live.
If you go
up
the airport highway, they have the fake ones.
The magnolias that you already know live here and stay green all year long.
Well,
I'm always impressed with that.
The other thought, and I know Mommy had this at one time, they had these small, they were 3 feet by 2 feet. City of Mommy, Wilkins, and they were granite, like on concrete posts.
Mm-hmm.
They met the breakaway sign, but if we could do... Or, you know, at Salisbury and Holloway, just something lower.
Yeah.
Being to meet the breakaway requirements.
Right. Well, I think we're going to have to hire somebody.
What I heard Mike Stormer say, you can do whatever you want outside the right of way. I don't think they're going to let you put anything in the right of way.
I heard him say that too.
Wow.
In the right of way at all.
He's
what is the right? What is inside of the circle the right of way?
No. Everything,
all the property that they own
to accommodate the roundabout.
Okay.
Everything all the way around the outside of it, even.
So I'm thinking in the center, just
mm-hmm.
having a.
Oh, okay.
In the center, have a breakaway sign that meets the breakaway requirements. You know, welcome to Monclova Township. Yeah, well.
We can ask again, but the last time we talked about that, they said no.
Right.
But I guess my thought, at least the two here on Monclova and Alvin and Monclova, I mean, the River Rock, I think, is a...
It kind of hits everybody well, right?
An attractive alternative without...
Mm-hmm. And I don't like the red. Like, we've already got red, so if we do... You know, he said we had to pick a color too. So
for the stamps, kind
right?
Of
I just make it black. Make it the color of the road.
I like it
like,
red.
Do you?
It stands out. If you make it black,
it
looks like
starts
part of the
to
road.
Fade.
Well,
yeah,
the black would attract heat, which makes
right.
it more
it's hot.
Well,
reduce it to plant green.
Maybe we could put Monclova spelled out in cement.
If you did it. Black, you wouldn't see all the tire marks on it where the trucks go on it.
And the red just starts to fade almost immediately.
It does. It almost turns orange.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, again,
it'd
I go
nice
back to,
the
I think...
the color of the River Rock.
Yeah, like a gray... Right. Anyway, I think
Terrazzo.
We should talk to an expert in this or have somebody...
Don't you think the county has contracts with different people for landscaping, though?
The county can do that, could this, but they said no, sort of.
Pretty much.
Somebody put those trees in, and while at meeting, we told them they died, and they said they're guaranteed for a year. So the county hired to put those evergreen trees in at Weckerly and Monclova, and they're dead. So obviously the county has somebody that comes in and plants trees.
They at least have a landscaper, too. They have a designer. I don't know what it costs to design a roundabout, but... Could be our standard
Bauer,
operating procedure then.
Would Bauer look into it for us?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Right? That's a good idea. Do you have a landscape
Do I have a landscape? Yeah.
Designer. Architect design.
Yeah.
Maybe Bauer could do it.
Yeah. I'll call him.
Or who do we get our trees from? North Branch?
Usually, yeah.
I think they have somebody.
Yeah.
Pemberville.
So you call yeah. Branch, I'll call Kraft and see what he has.
Sure.
And let's get, like, the maximum design to the minimum design, and we can have, like, these aren't going away.
Can we put bluebird houses or something in the roundabout since they're a breakaway?
Yeah. Poor bluebirds will get killed flying across the road, but sparrows might use them. Something. And an architect's going to know better than we do.
Speaking of the county again, so I had a third, fourth conversation with Doug Bourne from Lucas County Economic Development. They're still trying to cobble the pieces of River Fort together. And he was going to reach out to the county to see if, according to Mike Panuska, we have no cash, but if they could provide in-kind engineering services for the design of that road.
And we saw the email that said, hey, we're willing to throw this much in from the two entities.
And the challenge that Doug has shared with me is that number, whatever the number keeps moving. It's gone everywhere from 1.4 million to 2.2.
That's a lot of road, isn't it?
For the same scope of work?
For the...
Okay, 2.2 to go all the way back down to Montclair.
Correct.
Road. Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
So...
What is that? Fort what?
River Fort Drive.
River Fort.
They were going east off of Jerome and then south to Monclova. I don't know how far, but...
And that's the Gavin argument is we don't do the work of a...
developer.
Right, we don't say, hey, Craig, we're putting in your roads.
Yeah, we don't put in roads for residential. You know, when people own different plots of land and sell them off, either they sell them at a developed price or an undeveloped price.
Now, can I ask, in your theory, in your argument, it's TIFT and that is in a joint economic zone. So is there's not a job application grant, most likely, but is there some reason we should provide, it's not really
economic
an incentive,
assistance.
Right, it's not really an incentive, but something like that. I mean, to help with the road, to know the payoff is X might make sense for us. If they're a few $100,000 short or something along those lines. I mean,
you can make the argument.
I can make
you
argument.
Want,
corporate
you know,
welfare.
It's like whatever. Policy or your life policy is, you know. It,
and one of them is a warehouse building.
How do you make that decision here? So what's your standard procedure for saying, we're going to provide this assistance here, but then someone else comes over here and we don't provide that assistance. Times are different. We don't have as much money, all these different things. And then it looks like we're favoring a business owner over here compared to over here.
Yeah.
We are, from my knowledge, we don't
be picking winners and
losers.
We don't have something set up that is just like, put it in the system and, you know, because we had all these, you know, requirements or relations, and if it hits them, we do it. We don't have that. What's coming to us, and how do you make a decision?
So where does this money get used at, that these people will be in the TIF interstate? I mean, so we're going to be getting TIF money from there. So do we use it to improve Whiting Road?
No, the TIF is used to be reimbursed for the interchange.
Yeah.
That's already allocated.
For the 20I?
Yes. Correct.
So, you can't
so that's why they were else? That's why they were asking us to pull those two parcels out of that TIF and put it in a new TIF for that.
Yeah. So we made a large investment with other people.
Right.
We are being reimbursed for that large investment by putting all the parcels that benefit from having an interchange because now they're putting a warehouse in because we built this interchange and it makes it easier for them to come to their warehouse. So we did do a public works project. That benefits everyone.
You said it so much better than I did. The public works project.
Now
they hate him.
than one,
so
you know, it, road, it was because all we didn't put the road in other areas.
So yeah, the interchange benefited every commercial, every TIF, anybody who's in that interstate TIF will benefit from the exchange in a joint type group.
Including effort, the four corners of 28 and L.
The TIF is on a blank land.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Right? So you have Tom, and you benefit in the theory that exit is there.
Yeah. We said we're making it easier to access your property, which increases your property value, and that's where the public dollars went to increase, you know, the accessibility, you know, for there, and then all the way up to the airport. So all those vacant ones, you know, all that vacant land has more demand.
How many lots? Do you know that off the top of your head? How many parcels?
It was just 2 acres, wasn't it, Don?
It was 60-some.
And that's just ours. That's,
Mommy did it on the other side.
I would assume Mommy did it on their side. I'm going to assume whoever...
I think it was already done in Mommy, wasn't it? Right. We were after Mommy.
Yeah, and I don't know if I'll buy the airport, because there's not that global land out there.
Close to
Springfield
to fit.
Swan did not. Now, a question that came up as part of this, and it gets so when the folks from Great Lakes Capital came in to talk to Harold and Eric, they showed them a preliminary site plan. So we're going to need a variance for this. We're going to need a variance for that. We're going to need X, you know, this, you know, this, and this. So, without a specific request, but it's. And I'm paraphrasing. Bill Burkett from RGP shared with me that a condition to Great Lakes receiving this grant from the state is that they follow all local zoning. Now, does that mean before or after the variance request? And he's getting a copy of that agreement. But a condition of their grant is you will follow the local zoning codes.
Well, they may or may not get a variance.
Well, I don't know. Correct. But I don't know if that the language in the grant that they're receiving from the state...
They can't ask for a variance is what you're saying.
I don't know that. That's right. Why I'm asking our real estate expert here. Would following local zoning be... prior or after a zoning variance request?
Well, local zoning allows
all the way through.
It'll allow for a variance.
Yeah.
Zoning code, so you're allowed.
So yeah, it would follow through the project, depending on what those various variances would be.
They could probably ask for whatever they want. I mean, they're going to get it.
It would be. I mean, they could be asking for it ahead of the closing or the grant money, or they could get it. They could get a piece of it and then have to pay it back too, if they didn't follow. I mean, it sounds to me like follow the rules. It's not you follow the rules up until you get some money and then it's over.
Well, it would make sense to me also that would certainly give us a, you know, very valid reason to just say no. We wouldn't have to grant the variance. We wouldn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If it wasn't appropriate.
Right.
You heard all the variances? Did it seem excessive?
Yeah.
So they should be in here asking now instead of later. Because then they get their yeses or their noes.
And the people that were here, it was a new developer that they hired out of Fort Wayne in Indiana. I don't remember the name of them.
It was the group out of Fort Wayne, someplace, yeah.
Yeah.
In that same conversation, you know, we don't want to be Swanton Township. Yeah, I'm aware. We don't want to be Swanton Township at the airport JED, not allowing buildings in because they don't follow their zoning. Architectural, I've said this like 3 million times, architectural design changes with materials that are available. So if these variances are us not with the times, we need to look at our zoning code and make sure our zoning code is in.
Some of it had to do with the number of parking spaces. Eric explained right. to them. X number of parking spaces per square foot.
Right.
Nope, they didn't want that many parking spaces.
Right, because it's this kind of a building, does it need that many parking spaces? We're just general. We just say it's 1,000 square feet equals 3 parking spaces, and then we don't have enough in coffee shops, and you can't get parking at Whole Foods and Lido. You know, like, it's interesting the way we use it.
Well, that's why you kept the opportunity for them to apply for a variance, and you have a Board of Zoning Appeals. I mean, that's exactly yes. why. If it's a different design building, it's not manufacturing, and you've got 800 people coming in through 3 different shifts versus a storage unit or a distribution center that has 10 semi-trucks.
But so it's being it's a spec building, you have no idea.
It's a spec building, yeah. and supposedly they have absolutely no idea.
That makes it very difficult to give a variance.
Pardon me?
Wasn't one of the other things they were asking for that the fire access road didn't, they wanted gravel versus
paved? They wanted a gravel road, yes, for that.
Which, that would be a BZA request, but I don't foresee that being granted. I don't want to speak for the BZA.
Yeah. Might be better for the environment, but it's not what we do.
You know, and that
might not be good for a fire truck either.
No.
And that's what we do.
And if you're that big of a building, if you're in the and the black cop stops there, and you've got fire going on the back 20,000 square feet, you're not going to get a fire truck back there.
In the rain.
In the mud. Mm-hmm. After weeks of
raining. Some bad variances.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So that would be a good reason why they should start asking.
No.
Early on, so they know the information.
Before they get too deep in attorney fees and architects and designs, and
that's up to them.
Ouch. Good business.
Way, but that's.
Well, and I guess a quick question. So if a company asks for multiple variances, do we ask them to submit them on multiple applications, or could they?
Mm.
You know, I know we have a $350, isn't there an application? Because it basically pays for the BZA meeting. But if they had requesting 10 variances, do we have them submit 10 separate applications?
See, that's what I'm talking about, our zoning code being always updated. We didn't have that problem before, but now it's in front of us. So should there be a maximum of like 3 on one application? And that added to our zoning code.
But you know, I think you had mentioned Alamure. I think there was 3 or 4 variances there as far as building materials and stuff, and we were able to accommodate them. And I think we got an attractive building out there that met our demands and met their,
I'm just saying, zoning code shouldn't require a variance for Alamure.
Right.
Well, Alamure.
Okay,
Senator.
Senator, right there at across from ODOT at Jerome and Technology.
Okay.
So I'm the devil.
That was before me.
The
building is at a peel finish. You can't
for a
tell
hearing?
That.
Okay.
Versus
you don't
a smooth
want
steel.
10 different hearings.
So that was one of the variances.
One building. You want them looking
there's 3 or 4
at
the whole thing.
The whole picture, right?
Okay.
I mean, if you know there's going to be 10
variances asked
that
for.
Need to be looked at, you don't want them to say yes, no, 3 yeses, and then the rest no's, and have something that doesn't read well, work together. What's the point of the application? Is the application the hearing, or is the application for a variance? Right? You follow me?
Mm-hmm. 74 degrees in here.
All right.
It's nice. I don't have to be wearing my winter coat.
Said it's set at 68. It's Chuck's full of hot air.
And I also heard from Jeff Cole. Jeff is the marketing and communications director for Dana. that Dana Dive will be from 2023 to Briarfield Technology. It won't be Technology Drive. As what
you said, 23. Is Briarfield going away too then?
No. From 20A that...
20A to Technology.
I'm sorry, from 23 to Briarfield Technology. So that quarter mile stretch...
Just from the highway to there?
Yeah.
That's Dana Drive?
That will be Dana Drive.
Doesn't make sense.
Because no businesses are impacted. No businesses are impacted. They don't have to pay for anybody's rebranding, website redesign, update that. So.
Compromise.
So when it turns to go to Alamere, it becomes Technology again.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. So Dana Corporation will still be on Technology Drive, but the highway will say Dana Drive, you know, next exit, Dana Drive, next exit.
Okay.
So they get the ODOT rebranding or whatever, yeah.
Huh.
He just shared with me on Friday. Tweets next to ours.
On opening day.
Yeah. Carol, did you have any luck getting a meeting with one of two architect firms?
Not yet. Chief's on vacation for the next 2 weeks, so I will be working on that. My apologies.
I thought you two weeks ago said we were meeting with them. Or Chief said you're meeting with
them. Well, he thought he had something lined up, but apparently not. So I'll get into it.
I mean, if Chief's not here, Chief's not here. Let's get a meeting set up.
Yes. I understand.
All right. Did either, paraphrase Barbara, you two have anything in addition for the agenda?
No.
You two guys.
Yeah.
I got better at
wanted
it.
Wanted
it.
Comment, though, Gavin says something about, and it's not on the agenda, but on the working session as far as doing something with budgets, Gavin.
Next meeting, time. That's on the 17th.
So we're going to meet at 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll just need a special meeting set for next time to come at 3.
So what will be discussed? I mean, like the maintenance budget or all the budgets, or do you take them individually?
Some longer-term planning, if I understood it.
I just said so we can have input from the trustees on what their revision is for people's budgets. So it's not one person talking, saying this is what I want. You know, so it's all three trustees putting their input into the budget. Kind of, you know, I mean, we've been hearing, hey, what's the 5-year plan at our parks?
Right.
You know, but what is your 5-year plan? You know, so then it can be designed, you know, to what your wishes are. So kind of that strategic planning. In my mind, we really need to, from a budgetary standpoint, look at what is our workforce? You know, do we have enough people to handle all of what's being done within the township? You know, budgetarily, do I need to increase, you know, staffing levels in the future? And
so we should come in with ideas for like all of them? Administration,
I don't think you need to know that the maintenance department needs to buy a hoe. I don't think that's,
right.
We don't need to get down there.
I think
we need to think
because I talked about the parking lot last time.
Yeah,
and
I mean, that's
when,
probably, and I'm just ballparking, you know, a $75,000 to $100,000 expense of repaving and resurfacing of that. I mean,
at
that's
least.
You need to get understanding that they have a lot of these plans, but they don't talk about those plans all the time. You know, we have, you know, maintenance plans and replacement plans and all that. I'm just telling everyone, bring those plans so they can be shown so people can see them. And so on and so forth.
So Doug will be here?
Yeah. All the department heads will be here.
I didn't know if we took them individually or how long the discussion is going to be.
We're just going to sit out there. We're starting at 3 o'clock and we'll go till we're satisfied. You know, the real meeting will be, you know, 4:45. We'll start this. But
you guys, have you done this every year?
No. When I started, we did it for multiple years in a row. And then it kind of, you get the same information.
Here's the Keener Road Master Park Plan right here. Here. This is what the park looked like. We had an architect design this. We sat down and talked about it. So, since then, we've just kind of gone from there. You know, the, I could point to lots of, like, master plans we've made.
And have they been followed through?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Look, sure.
Well, I mean, I know Keener Park. I didn't know if there was any other master plans.
Yeah, the JEDs, the TIFFs, the, yeah.
I mean, they both the fire department and the maintenance department have a, you know, vehicle replacement schedule.
Right, yeah, Gavin has showed us that this is this year.
We're just going to include more detail because one, we've grown, and two, you know, just want to have everyone's input so that everyone understands where and.
So I'm assuming you've asked, like, mentioned it to Doug about this meeting coming up as far as...
Everyone knows. Okay. I sent it off to...
No, I don't get your emails.
I know. It's on purpose. You just get to enjoy the soup. You don't have to sit here and critique the ingredients that go into the soup. Like, just, I mean, at the end, you can ask questions, but that isn't the role of the trustee to get into all those details on a daily and week basis. It's get the final result. But you need to give the input, but, I mean, it doesn't do us any good to eat chicken noodle when you want chili. Yeah, you know.
That's a good analogy, yeah,
so,
right?
But,
and some things truly come up that we couldn't plan for, like probably the opportunity at 20A and the expressway. It wasn't like we were sitting here saying 5 years prior, should we start making plans for TIFFs because we know that expressway exit is coming in. But as soon as we got to be part of it, we started making the plans for it. So you can't be prepared for everything. It's not a business. It's government. Sort of, kind of, right?
Well, no, I think, you know, we, the township, have been very proactive in a lot of things that, you know,
Joint Economic Development Zones.
The original JED,
uh-huh.
You know, that at that time was a compromise, and, you know, we've learned from that, and we've improved upon that by creating different ones with different structures that are more benefit to the township. I mean, right now, we get a third of a pretty big piece of pie from Briarfield, but when you look at the White House JED, we're getting 75% of probably now an equalized pie, because we were proactive in that. You know, we have the airbed, which is more, you know, of supporting the airport. But
so support.
We
had an economic development director, so I think I heard Gavin say we need to talk about personnel. We need to talk about those big issues. We added all this workforce, but we didn't. We said, hey, you're in charge.
So that's,
I agree.
That's where I'm going. You know, what is our organizational chart? You know, in my business, I create an organizational chart that this is going to be ideal to run my business, but I can't fill it all in. And this person wears these hats, but at some point in time, I need to put another person on here. It's two people wearing instead of one. Right now, I feel like we have some spots like that, just in my opinion, that we need to fill the gaps to find
that.
Some assistance here. And budgetarily, we have the funds to do that.
Correct.
So. That's why I want to get us all on the same page, so it's not just come June and I lay out a budget and say, here's what we're...
We can't do that with no space, per se. There's
no
space.
We have a ton of space.
To add personnel.
We have a ton of space. We don't utilize it the right way, but we have space.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you could turn a conference room with cubicles.
Yeah.
I mean...
Right.
I mean, we have space. It's just what's our standard,
yeah.
How fast we're going to move it. So,
you know, we could put up cubes in the training room tomorrow.
So
just call up, you know, whomever, order of my line. And,
Well, I mean, at some point in time, if nothing's done.
Well, I had suggested that if the sheriff, and I'm putting this out again, if the sheriff's office ends up taking the State Highway Patrol building, I still don't see a need. I know it's in our contract for the office here, but to sit down and actually discuss with the sheriff, I think it'd be more beneficial for him to be out at the patrol post than sitting in here 1 or 2 hours a day. that office is not being utilized like it could be utilized.
There's a deputy in there most of the time.
Yeah. But maybe he should be on.
So I mean, we allow them to use that space for things other than Montclonely business. But is there for the Monclova to have theirs? And this is way more the heart of Monclova than out at patrol. But if our fire department's over at the fire department, that's not
yes.
Space isn't an issue.
Right.
Yeah. Those are all discussions we can have. That's why I think
I think we're going to sit here 6 months from now and nothing's going to be developed over there. And I'm not blaming you, Harold. Don't get me wrong. Things move slow in government, and this is not a private business. I've been told that how many times. I run a private business. This is a government business. So things like they get for a long, long time.
Well, and just talking here, if we hired an assistant for Gavin and somebody else, and we said, hey, Kevin and Matt, you're going to be in cubes over there.
You can't do that, though. They have personnel files. They need a locking door. They can't just be put into a...
Personnel files are only...
There's personnel files they have.
What I'm saying is, if that was the case, we'd have a plan for offices in weeks.
Yeah, we would. I agree 100%.
I'm not... I'm just saying, for example, just a matter
of... Lots of places work in cubicles now. It's the way it works.
When
I think they would be great.
When the house is on fire, it's quickly how we can find the hose in a hurry.
Well, I agree.
That's a good idea, too.
Why wasn't all this addressed?
I mean, they need sleep space. They don't need closet space.
I just don't understand it.
Thank you.
All sorts of things. We can talk about them all.
One and a half eyes and a wardrobe for everybody but one of us. So,
I have a different view of things.
Are you staying here?
Yeah.
I did not have
steal
that on
stuff.
The agenda.
Okay. Is there anything interesting you did in there?
I can't remember.
I will guard it.
That probably means you're not prepared to talk about it.
Yeah.
So, I would say no.
The donation formula.
But I have policy. See you in a bit.
Okay. I look forward to it.